Well, good morning, Faith Fellowship.
Good morning.
I can't hear you.
Okay. Well, welcome to Faith Fellowship Church. This is our time for announcements, so nothing's going on. This is so weird. As we know, there's a lot of cancellations happening. I know a lot of the events that we've been looking forward to. The Bonjour brunch, the quarter auction, all have kind of been on a little bit of a postponement. So we just ask that you would be patient, and we hope to have those events coming back to you. But not only is this usually our announcement time, it's also our stand and greet. So I'd invite you, whether you're on Twitch or if you're on Facebook, there is a chat room. And as I've been watching, the chat room is very lively. Ladies, they enjoyed your singing very much in the chat room. So why don't you go ahead, take some time, and say hi to somebody virtually while we get ready here. I also want to let you know that, as we said, have juice and crackers because we are going to have a time of communion as well. So as we finish up, because this is our upper room series, so take a moment, say hi to each other, and then we'll go ahead and Jessica and try to trip over.
I'm just gonna do something really awkward.
Say hi to each other. Thank you.
There we go. That's just stall time for Jessica to get out of the way. This is going to be fun.
No, we're not saying hi to each other. Hi.
Yeah, we're not. There we go. We're not doing a stand and greet in here. There we go. So, I want to kind of start out and see how many of you are watching church right now in your pajamas. Some of us still had to get up and come in and get dressed. But if you are watching in your church in your PJs, and with your messy hair, congratulations. I also want to share a new Bible verse for you that Christy shared with me and Jessica yesterday. It said, where two or three are gathered, but less than 10, I am there with
that's
you. So that's kind of a new take on that. So we do have less than 10. Right now we have 9. We had the 3 on the worship team. We have Jake and Rob, and then my girls and Christy are here as well, giving me encouragement, because it would have just been weird to preach to nobody. So I am glad there are some bodies here. Message. So I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get on with what we have for us today. And as we meet under these circumstances, I kind of thought it gave kind of a new meaning to the verses out of Hebrews, where it tells us not to forsake the gathering together, and how often maybe we can even take for granted coming together as a church family. I think about some of the brothers and sisters that we have around the world who have to meet in their homes out of fear of persecution. Now, we're not in a place of persecution here, but we are in a place of homes, in a place of smaller group gatherings. So it kind of rang true to me as I was thinking about just all these different things. You know, we don't know for how long we're going to have to meet like this. We have some other ideas that we love to kind of put on as a church with leadership, but I just look forward to that great day when we can come back here, fill this auditorium with praise and worship. And I think that's going to be a magnificent Sunday. I think it's going to be a picture of Revelation with the worship that takes place when we can gather again. But as we get ready for today, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we can gather in this new and unique way. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for this world as it's struggling with this COVID virus, Lord. We pray that the steps the governments have taken would help slow the spread. We pray for those who are sick that they would be healed. And Lord, we pray for those families who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would comfort all who need comfort, Lord. And as we think about peace this morning, we ask that we would find our peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're with us regularly, we know we have two preaching series going on. We have our What We Believe series, which has kind of taken place during our regular messages, but we also have this mini series that we're doing right now, which is the Upper Room series on the fruit of the Spirit. So far we have taken a look at in January we looked at love, and then in February we looked at joy. And then this week we have a very appropriate God-ordained topic of peace. I can't think of a better time to have this, because I'm sure many of us over this past week have felt a lack of peace, been wondering where peace is in our lives. And now we look for the peace that Christ offers us. And today I want to look at three areas which are kind of the opposite of peace. I want to look at anger, anxiety, and fear that comes from the lack of peace. For anger and anxiety, we're going to look at two sisters, Mary and Martha. And for fear, we're going to look at the 12 disciples and see how all these things were a lack of trust and peace in Christ. So as I said, first, let's take a look at anger. Anyone have any anger this week over some of the things that have been happening? I know I've had. I know I've been mad and angry that we couldn't meet as a church as we normally would. God, how could you have churches not meeting together? I was mad. I was angry. I couldn't believe what was going on. Or maybe you're mad over all the deaths. God, how could you let this happen? I'm sure many are watching have felt this anger over this past week. You know, during Jesus' ministry, he was very close with the family of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And in John 11, we get word that Lazarus has passed away. And in John 11, 21, Martha comes out to meet him, and she says this, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Later on in the same passage, Mary has the same response. She says, why weren't you here? They're basically saying to Jesus, in my opinion, is why don't you care? You see, we see in that story, if you look at it a little earlier on, is that Mary and Martha had actually sent word to Jesus. They had sent word that their brother was sick. What did they probably anticipate Jesus doing? Doing what he had done all these times before, heal people. Certainly Jesus knows our family. He's healed people he's just met. Once he gets word that our brother is sick, he will come and he will heal our brother. But see, Jesus had a different plan, and he had a bigger picture of what was going on. Because scripture points out that when he is told about the sickness, he purposely waits 2 more days. And then in John 11:4, it says this, "But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" He gets this word of this death, and he says, look, this death will not end, but this will end to the glory of myself. This is happening so that I may gain glory through this situation. And I'm sure they weren't having those same ideas. They were angry. Their brother has passed away. We are feeling anger today in many ways. But we know that in the end, God is getting great praise and glory. Maybe this was meant to stop churches, to not have churches come together. But we see that this church, the church of God, will not be silenced. That we will still meet in various ways and in various technologies that it offers to us, and we will still gather and give great praise and glory to the name of Jesus. We might not see all that he is doing right now, but we know that he is working. And he is working behind the scenes. And even though it's okay to ask that question, Jesus, do you care? We know that he does care and that he loves us. But he also has a greater plan in mind, a plan that will bring him glory and praise. But maybe anger isn't just the only thing you've been feeling this week? Anybody feeling a little anxiety over everything? Maybe there is worry about jobs, bills, schools, the economy, on and on and on. We're saying, Lord, what about this? Lord, what about that? But what about this one thing over here? Well, as we stay within this same family, we look at a different account with Mary and Martha. And this account comes from Luke chapter 10. And if you turn there in Luke chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse 38. It says this, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Here, Jesus is welcomed into this home by Martha. During this visit, he is sitting and teaching with Mary. But Martha is distracted by all that's going on around the house. Maybe you've been wiping down your counters 20 times. Maybe you've been wiping things around your house forever, just distracted by all what's going on. She asked Jesus about her sister leaving her to do all this work. She says, "She's left me to do all this work on my own." But Jesus answers her. She says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." How many of us this week would maybe have Jesus say that same thing into our lives? Seth, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Maybe even the thought is going through your mind as you're watching this online. Thoughts are racing through your head. We are stressed about all that is happening. We want everything to be okay. We want everything to be fixed. We want things to be perfect. We want things to be normal. We want sports on TV again, and it's driving us crazy. Just kidding. We feel overwhelmed by everything that is around us. Thoughts racing all over our heads. But sometimes maybe what we need is to take a step back and understand that Jesus is maybe teaching us something, that he wants us to be sitting at his feet. Jesus points out that Martha is missing something very important: him. She's so distracted by all that is going on that she has forgotten to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear what he has for her. He goes on and says, "But one thing necessary, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Mary had chosen to sit and listen to Jesus. She wasn't distracted by all that was going on around her. She looked to Christ. If you are like me, whenever you are troubled or worried, usually our focus falls off of Christ. Instead, we look to our problems and we forget to lean on him who cares for us. In John chapter 6, as Jessica was mentioning, we spent some time here with our small group in John chapter 6. And it's this point where many of Jesus' disciples are kind of falling away from him. The things that he is saying, they're saying, "This is too hard." They turn their backs and they leave Jesus. It is in this moment where Jesus comes to his 12 disciples and he says, are you guys going to leave? And Peter gives this great response. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He knew there was no place else in this world to turn. He wasn't going to turn his back on his Lord and Savior. he knew he needed to stay with Christ. And maybe the things he is saying is hard, but he was not going to walk away from Christ. Mary understood this, and she sat at the feet of Jesus. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of the words from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you are feeling anxious and troubled in this current time, come to the feet of Jesus. Listen to his word. Let him give you the rest that you so deeply need. You know, this time has given us a great opportunity to have not a lot going on in our lives. And if I admit, I had fallen about a couple more than I ever would before. A time to sit and read and get in there. And I will tell you, it's given me a peace and a comfort as I turn to his word. I don't say these things just because this is a message. I say this because this is the stuff I'm going through. I said I felt angry. I was very upset about not being able to come together. But I took time. I went to his word and I sought him in prayer and his word. And the anger went away. The fear and worry with all this comes and goes, but I know I can trust in Christ. Maybe the last thing you're feeling is fear. I think there's a lot of fear of what's going on around us. I think fear comes from a lack of control. We don't know how the virus is spreading so much. We're trying to contain ourselves, but we still hear the numbers increasing. We are afraid of being in quarantine, of being home with our kids 24/7. Anybody else feeling crazy? I mean, it's going well. It's going really, really good. All right, just kidding. I mean, no, wait, not just kidding. It's going well. But in Mark chapter 4, we find the disciples afraid. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. "On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat just as he was, and the boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" You see, Jesus had just finished teaching the crowds and wanted to cross over to the other side of the sea. And while they were crossing over, a great storm developed. You know, often we can get a lot of big storms in this area. And I can think back to one, actually 3 years ago, in March of 2017, some big storms came through our area. And at night, which is the worst time for storms to come through because you're trying to lay in bed and relax and fall asleep. Yet when these great storms and great gusts come, wind starts happening. It hits your windows. I remember this one night it awoken our whole family, Ava, Kenzie, myself, and Christy. And the kids were afraid, hearing the wind blow outside and sometimes even shaking the house. Even at one point, our shed was blown off of its wooden stand. Remember, I'm not good at building things, so it's not a surprise that something I would build might fall off of its support system. But it's all good now. But it was in this moment when I thought about the peace of Christ and him and his disciples on this boat. And how I wish, even though as Ava and Kenzie were afraid, that I could walk out and say, "Peace, be still." But I would have just looked crazy out in my pajamas saying, "Peace, be still," to the winds. You see, remember, these were fishermen. These were guys who were used to being out on the sea. But something about this storm was unlike anything else they had faced. And they were crying out. And again, they asked him, "Do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus, this storm is going to kill us. Why are you asleep?" Have you asked that same question? "Jesus, do you even care? Do you know what is happening down here?" But we fail to see that God continues to work and that God is not absent. Jesus wakes up and says these three simple words, "Peace, be still." For many of us this week, maybe Jesus is yelling into our lives, "Peace, be still." In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." It talks about God being our fortress, our place of strength in time of need. So, why so little faith? Many commentators point in this section to where Jesus had told them, "Hey, let's cross over to the other side." Jesus had told them, "Look, we're going to the other side. I'm letting you know that from the beginning." But see, the disciples had forgotten who was in control. But then they got a great fear when they realized he really was in control. And he could control the wind and the waves. You see, these times are scary with the news of this virus. It feels like the winds and the waves are rocking the boats of our lives. But we need to remember who is in control. Christy shared with me this quote this week. It says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how long we're going to be on lockdown. We don't know how long sports won't be on TV. But God says, "Trust in me. I am who you know. I am who you lean on." We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future in his hands. We find peace. God is still working this out. See, a lack of peace causes people to question God. Mary and Martha asked the same question that the disciples asked. "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about our brother? Don't you care that I am doing all this work? Don't you care that this storm is going to kill us?" You see that in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. And in Luke chapter 10, 40, "Don't you care?" Since many of you are watching us on Facebook, I'll share a picture of something I saw on Facebook. Now, we don't have this great PowerPoint up here, so I have to explain it to you, but it's two quotes of kind of a viewpoint of what we're going through today. And this is how we see that God is in control. It says this. The first viewpoint is from Satan. Satan says this: "I will cause anxiety, fear, and panic. I will shut down businesses, schools, places of worship, and sporting events. I will cause economic turmoil." Doesn't that seem like a viewpoint today? But then Jesus says this. He says, "I will bring together neighbors, restore the family unit. I will bring dinner back to the kitchen table. I will help people slow down their lives and appreciate what really matters. I will teach my children to rely on me and not on the world. I will teach my children to trust me and not their money or material resources." Isn't that a great picture of what we're seeing in this world today? We have this unpeace in the world, but then Christ is telling us, no, it might not make sense to you in this world, but there is a peace that comes in Jesus Christ. it caused me to reflect on these words from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." It's a peace that doesn't make sense to the world around us. We think about the anger that comes from the loss of a loved one. The worry over the things of this world, of being caught up and not focused on Christ. And we think about the fear that comes with the unknown. But there is a peace which transcends all understanding. And it is the peace that comes in Jesus Christ. That is where we find our hope. That is where we find our peace for those troubled times. You see, viruses, death, pain, worry, fear, anger all find their beginnings in sin. You see, in Genesis 1 and 2, God created the world and he said that everything was good. But in Genesis 3, everything changed. Sin entered the world and life on earth hasn't been the same since. Death, viruses, pain, worry, fear. Everyone who is watching this is caught up in that sin. Bible says that we are all sinners and there is nothing that we can do about it. There is no good that we can do to make ourselves right. We are all broken and fallen. See, there had to be a perfect sacrifice. Somebody who could come and fulfill the law and do all that God had. And that was his son, Jesus Christ, who came and took on the pains of this world, the suffering, the anger, the anxiety, and he took it on the cross. And he died in our place, a place that we deserved because of our sin. And I know that there might be some watching this here today who don't understand the peace of Christ that comes with salvation. And that is the gift that is being offered to you. Jesus offers the free gift of salvation for those who believe in him. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will come into your life. The Holy Spirit will come and comfort you in times of trouble and in times of need. Just admit that you are a sinner and can do nothing to restore this broken relationship. Give him your anger, your fear, your anxiety, and be made new in Christ. We lean on him in times of untrouble and rest. He is our peace. He is the peace that comes through our anger. He is the peace which comes through our worry and anxiety, and he is the peace which comes through our fear. Where are you seeking your peace? Are you seeking your peace in the world, or are you seeking the peace which comes in Jesus Christ? He says, "Come to me, make your requests known, sit at my feet, learn from me, trust me, have faith, and know that in the end, I am the one who gets glory in all things." You know, it is that sacrifice that I talked about, which we come and gather for today. I would like you at this time to take whatever you have as far as a cup and a cup of juice. If we want to have somebody who's here for the local nine, that's what we'll call ourselves here, to give them their little pass out. And Jesus had a plan. See, Satan thought he had won on the cross. But there was more to it. I ask you to reflect on all that Christ did for you, maybe this week. Take some time and Confess the sins that you've had. Reflect on his sacrifice. And we will break bread together. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let me pray for our bread. Heavenly Father, we come before you, separated but miles, but united by the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for his body, which was hung on that cross and broken for our sins, and that it is a place that we can find restoration, Lord. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On that same night, in the same way, after he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let me pray for this. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, thinking of the blood of Jesus that was spilled on the cross for our sins, Lord. The blood which covers our sins. Lord, we're thankful for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up as we get ready to close out our service for today. I want to thank you all for joining us. I know this wasn't the most convenient way to come to church, but we are glad that we could still come together and worship the name of Jesus. We pray that you would be seeking this peace of Christ. And if you are finding yourselves in times of trouble, we ask that you would reach out to each other. We know it's hard right now, but we are still a body of Faith Fellowship Church. We are the body of Christ. We have awesome ways to connect. We pray that if you are feeling nothing, if you need help, if you need supplies, reach out to somebody in church and let us be the church for you. And whether it's fear, anxiety, or your anger, we hope that you can find that peace in Jesus Christ. As we close, we're going to sing the song "Always," which means he is our refuge and strength. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Let's sing together as we close in worship.